I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to invite you to close your eyes and picture in your head that scene from the gospel. Jesus approaching the Jordan River. I want you to think in your mind like what the Jordan River looks like, what the banks look like. Think about like John the Baptist. He's there kind of receiving Jesus in this holy, gracious moment. Now I want you to open your eyes, and I want to assure you, the Jordan River looks nothing like what you just pictured at all. I got to go there for the first time in November, and I got to tell you, it's like you approach the Jordan River, and if you're coming from at least the Israeli side, it's all super barren desert. It's the Judean wilderness. You pass like 300 tour buses, and then you approach, and you see there's like a gift shop that's selling all kinds of stuff, sodas, snacks, as well as super cheaply made white baptismal gowns in case you want to get up in there and get rebaptized or whatever some of these other traditions will do. And then as you approach the river itself, there's three huge decks that have been built like in your backyard. And there's probably 1,000 people around this body of water, which is really no wider than this room, as dirty and muddy as the Yadkin River has ever been. And they're all down there throwing elbows and kicking people and trying to get their group in the water while armed guards with machine guns stand on either bank because the river is the border between Israel and Jordan. And so you could, in theory, wade on out and go into Jordan and get yourself loaded up with some lead. So just like Thomas Kincaid always painted it, right? Isn't that what we've seen in our children's Bibles forever? Today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany. And on this Sunday, every year, we remember Jesus's baptism, which should lead to the question occasionally, why does Jesus have to get baptized, right? Wasn't John's baptism a baptism of repentance? And wasn't Jesus like, I don't know, kind of beyond that? Over it? Like, wasn't he sort of sinless? Why does he need to get baptized at all? And if he does, why then are we keeping on remembering it? Was it like an oversight? Was it a clerical error? So what I want to do is I want to just show you really fast why Jesus has to be baptized. I'm going to say a couple of things about it. There are more things to be said than I will say. I'm going to name a few things. Then I want to talk about what that baptism has to do with that place, and then in particular, what Jesus's baptism means for us in 2020. So let's start why Jesus has to get baptized. And to do that, we have to talk about three callbacks that are happening in this story. All right, so a callback is like a reference to something else. It's like you're watching a movie and somebody riffs a line from Citizen Kane. You're like, oh, that was a reference to Citizen Kane. There are references to many other stories in that short gospel reading we had. I want to show you three of them. The first is this one. Israel's foundational story is the Exodus. The Exodus is when they are liberated from slavery in Egypt, freed from Pharaoh's oppression to be God's new people, living with God, demonstrating what it means to live rightly in this world with God in God's way. But before they can get totally free of Egypt, when they're released through the mighty acts of the Passover, they actually come up against a body of water, don't they? Before they can be fully free. What body of water do they get stuck against? The Red Sea. And Pharaoh's army, Malcolm's like, they said the Red Sea. Scholars maintain. Malcolm, we're just talking about the narrative here. So they're up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is charging after them. What happens? God tells Moses, hold up your staff. And what happens to those waters? They part, right? The people of God, Israel, walks through those waters. Pharaoh's army follows them. The waters close over top of Pharaoh's army, wiping them out. And Israel is free on the other side, and they have a dance party. It's roughly speaking. In Jewish consciousness, passing through water is how you get to freedom. Through water into freedom. This is why baptism ends up existing as a ritual. The way freedom is named, the way it's experienced, is you go through water to get there. All right, but this isn't the only time in their history that they have had to pass through water to get the freedom. What's the other time that this has happened as part of this great Exodus story? That's right, when they come up against a river that stands between them and entering into this promised land. Now, the thing about that is, they're not under Moses' leadership by this point. Remember, Moses takes them to Mount Sinai, they get the law, but then they kind of wander for a while, right? Who is the leader by the time they come into the promised land? Joshua is. And guess what body of water they're standing up against, needing to cross before they can get into it? The Jordan River. So this is where Joshua brings the people across into the promised land. And it's exactly like the Exodus in that they're all standing there with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. The waters are rushing at flood stage. And God says, step into the waters and I will stop them, which is a sermon for another time. And they do, and the waters stop, and the people of Israel pass through into the promised land. It's like the conclusion of the Exodus kind of happens, the fulfillment of this promise, as they walk through water into the new world that God has for them. Are you following me? So when Jesus shows up at the Jordan River, first off, it should be no surprise to anybody that a Jewish renewal movement would do baptism at the Jordan. This is like the place that you would say, God's doing a new thing, you want to be part of it? Come get in the water. You pass through this water to prepare yourself for what God's about to do. That's why this is going to be happening in this place. But it's even more layered when Jesus shows up, right? Because what is Jesus' name in Hebrew? It means Joshua. And Joshua and Jesus, the name means literally Yahweh saves. So Jesus shows up to be baptized. One, because it's a validation of what John has been doing. All of John the Baptist's activities, all the ways he's telling people to get ready, God is about to write the next chapter of our people's story, and it's happening in what I'm calling you to get ready for. When Jesus shows up and is baptized by John, it's Jesus saying, John was right, y'all. This is the way we're going, okay? But more so, it's a deep moment of identification because God's bag has always been to work with human beings to bring about the restoration of this creation. And so it's not, it wouldn't be God's style to show up and be like, thanks for getting them ready for me. I got the baton. Everybody follow me. No, no, no. What you see is the God who enters into life with God's people and says, we're doing this together. We're in this together, which is such a deep rebuke of all the kind of anxiety that's out there about the God that is like over and away from us, not in the mix with people, leading from afar on some pure, unattainable heavenly throne. That's not Yahweh. Yahweh is the God that gets into it with us. Jesus enters these waters of baptism as an identification with Israel because he's about to bring about a new exodus. Freedom not just for one people into one land, but freedom for all people into a new creation. Are you with me? That was kind of Bible study heavy. Was that too much? Should I adapt for 11:15? Okay. So here's what this means for us, and here's what this means for y'all. All right? Because I said there were three callbacks, right? When Jesus enters these waters of baptism and he comes up out of them, what does the scripture say happened? The heavens open and the Spirit of God descends like a dove. The word for spirit in Greek is pneuma. Let me hear you say pneuma. That is the same, carries the same meaning and semantic range as the Hebrew word ruach, which also means spirit. Where have you seen the Spirit of God hover over waters in the Hebrew scriptures? Genesis 1. When the Spirit of God broods over the waters of the abyss of chaos, God speaks and new creation bursts forth. This creation comes forth. God speaking, calling life out of chaos. for the Jewish people, water was a symbol of like the abyss, of chaos, of terror, of anxiety, of the unknown. And so Jesus entering into these waters and coming up out of them, and the Spirit of God descending on him, just like the Spirit of God descended and called life out of the waters of the first creation, you see what the gospel writers are saying, right? He comes to bring new creation, not in spite of all the chaos, not in spite of all the anxiety, not in spite of all the terror, but in the middle of it. He comes to enter whatever waters of chaos you're swimming in to bring about new life and new possibilities. Is there anybody in the room today for whom that would be good news? Because that's why we're talking about it on Baptism Sunday. What you all are doing is you're challenging us. You are going to challenge us to ask the question that's at the heart of baptism, which is, can things really change? It's okay if the kids are squirrely. All kids are squirrely. And that's a good part of this. But like, that's what we're asking in baptism. We're saying, can something really be laid low and be brought to new life? Can something new actually happen? Does tomorrow have to be a repeat of today, or could it be different? Could things really change? Baptism asks, do you believe that? And Jesus the Christ, who enters the waters of baptism, says, what if it's true? What if I came to enter into every water of chaos, every place of anxiety, and the voice of God speaking means there can be new life wherever there's chaos, wherever there's anxiety, whatever's going on, things can be different. Baptism keeps insisting new creation is possible. We need you all to bring these kiddos in here and help us remember that this is our story. We need you guys. Did you know that we needed you? We did. You know what? We're not far off. We're actually kind of dressed the same. She's got like a little girl. That's not bad. Stay in your lane, girl. So here's the invitation. We're going to baptize these kids, and like, y'all are making promises to raise them inside this story, to raise them with hope, with expectation, without to work on your own cynicism, to work on your own places of despair, which ends up being like the dominant narrative people have. Things will never change, they'll never get better. You're inviting us to consider that it can be different. So if there's a place for you that you need some new creation, if there's a place of chaos in your life, of anxiety, if there's a place you've given up, you've thrown in the towel, it'll never change, it'll never be different, it'll always be the way that it is. Here's the invitation of the Christ to you. This font is going to be full of water after this baptism. On your way to communion, or if you're at one of the other stations, slip up after the service or after you receive communion, stick your hand in this water and make the sign of the cross on your head. Get a little baptism on you. We all need to remember that things can be different, that things can change. Jesus comes to enter the waters of chaos that are in our lives to bring about new life. The question is, do you believe it? Amen.